Hello and welcome back to the Spook House. How are you today, Doug, my friend, my soon-to-be in North Carolina friend?
That's right. We got a month left in this countdown here. I am excited for that. But right now, I'm currently doing pretty swell, I would say.
Well, you're looking dapper. You look good.
Your face looks clear.
I'm still dealing with some residual sickness stuff. So if I sound stuffy, that's why. I'm trying to power through it. I got my tea here.
You sound hot with a little rasp in your voice.
Well, thank you.
You know, like every morning you wake up and your throat just feels kind of like a frog is stuck in it. And you kind of have that Barry White type of voice. I wish I had that all the time. My voice sucks.
Ooh. Yeah, I know what you mean. It's like,
Yeah.
Good morning, beautiful. How are you?
Looking at yourself, baby.
Yeah, saying that into the mirror.
I wish I had like constant strep throat.
But yes, Doug is coming down for Carolina Fear Fest Memorial Day weekend here in Raleigh, North Carolina. We are going to be down there all weekend working the booth. We're going to have merch. I'm going to be selling a shit ton of my VHS tapes because I need money. So if you want some VHS, if you want to come say what's up, please do so.
Yeah, feel free to bring us food too.
Yeah.
That's always a plus. Snacks.
Yeah, we are going to be booth neighbors with our friends Toxic Coffin, Lance, and Steven. So we're going to be hanging with those dudes all weekend.
Hell yeah.
It's going to be a good time. It's a solid lineup. Heather Langenkamp, Bill Moseley,
David Arquette.
It's going to be fun. Can't wait.
They just announced someone else the other day, too, and I forgot who it was.
The little girl from Terrifier 2.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's what it was. I was like, oh, that's cool. I know she's getting a lot of love. She was awesome in the movie for the scenes that she had.
Yeah, that's cool that she's doing cons. But yeah, it's going to be a great time. I'm excited to welcome Doug to North Carolina for the first time.
I'm excited. I want to go to the Halloween Kills locations and piss all over them.
Well, that is...
Or 2018, whatever.
That is...
It was near you.
Well, 2018 was filmed in Charleston, actually. Halloween Kills was filmed in Wilmington, but that's like a 2-hour drive. And we're going to be very busy with the convention all weekend, so I don't think we have time this time. So hold that piss.
Well, I'm going to piss in a mason jar and just give it to us out there, like some ashes.
Okay.
It's what he really wanted.
Ceremonial piss spreading.
Probably not the first time that's been said on Earth. People like some weird stuff. Anyway, didn't expect this conversation to go down that road.
Yeah, you'll die tragically, and I'll be like, this is what he always wanted. He hated this piece of shit.
I saved some of his piss just for this.
Oh shit. I wish you had
grab me that catheter.
What? I wish you had more time to just hang out. The convention's gonna be fun. I know you've never worked a booth at a convention, so
no.
Yeah, you'll have a good time.
And yeah, you've worked the booth a couple times, so you kind of know the ropes.
Yeah, whatnot, a little bit. Yeah. It can be.
I want to see what it's like behind the table.
Yeah.
It'll definitely stop me from spending money.
Yeah.
Which is a plus. You kind of can't go either, even though it's two of us.
Well, I mean, we'll be able to like walk around at times and check out any vendors. I'll be like, hey Doug, I'll hold down the booth. Go do what you gotta do.
I'm trying not to spend money.
Go spread some piss.
I'll be doing that in the bathroom for sure. Hopefully I actually take a dump in a normal time frame this time.
Couple things off the top. Your episode with John at Tapehead United just came out.
Oh yeah, that was super fun. I love John at Wicked VHS, Wicked _ VHS, if you haven't followed him already. Super chill guy. He's very awesome. Has a good episode. Collection. What?
That was a good episode.
Oh, thank you.
I was laughing my ass off on my couch watching it.
I have such a hard time. Like, I don't want to like be that person to like watch themselves back. I mean, I watch the clips and I watch other people's episodes, but like, I can't.
So you don't listen to your podcast? You don't listen to our podcast?
I do, because you ask me questions about it and I'm like, well, I have to do my due diligence and watch it or listen to it. But yeah. I just cringe every time that I hear myself. But
well, I don't enjoy hours of editing either, but I make peace with it.
I don't want to be like the egomaniac that's like, I listen to my stuff, but I guess it's not that way.
Well, I feel like it helps you. I mean, if you're a musician and you lay down a guitar track, you're not going to be like, I hope that was good enough. Like, you're going to listen back to it and be like, oh, I could tighten that up there.
Good point. While you're making, while I'm making stuff like that, for example, I just like keep doing like different takes and stuff like that. But also, like, once it's done, like, I rarely do I listen back to like my own music. I guess it's like a, I don't know, like, I can't describe it. It's just like a weird thing.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But after doing this for 5 years, it's like, yeah, I sound like a dumbass, whatever. It's I'm just kind of disconnected from it at this point.
Yeah, but the episode was super fun. He had a lot of good segments, and he does different segments in every episode, which is very creative, rather than just spin the wheels and repeat the same thing over and over. And your episode.
I'm recording Friday. I don't know when it'll come out, but I'm looking tomorrow? Forward. Oh, no. Next Friday.
Okay, yeah. Sweet.
Kind of freaked me out for a second. Like, oh, shit.
There's too many Fridays in the year.
I mean, I could do it tomorrow, but yeah, it's going to be fun. Anytime I get to talk about VHS and horror movies, it's a good time. So yeah, check out Tapeheads United. Listen to the episode with Doug. What else?
And also, I just want to say the fun thing about John was that the movies that we talked about, a decent amount of them he hasn't seen before. So he would say, oh, I haven't seen that movie yet. And he's like, oh, I'm putting it on my watch list. And then he would message me, say like Phantasm, for example. He's like, oh, I never watch. He's like, that's one I never watch. I'm like, oh, you need to watch that one like ASAP and let me know what you think about it. And he messaged me saying, he was like, oh, I love that movie. I'm watching the whole franchise now. I'm like, yes. I love, it's always fun to see what movies other people haven't seen yet that you like are really into.
Sure. Yeah. And by the way, we are going to talk about Late Night with the Devil and Abigail. We liked one of those a lot more than the other, but we'll talk about it. You had a movie recommendation. You gave it 5 fucking stars. You texted me like, dude, go see this movie. I forgot the name of it. What is it?
It's called The Beast.
The Beast. What's it about?
Very simple title. I almost don't want to give it away because I went into this movie completely blind. I saw the poster and I was like, I don't know, really doesn't pique my interest. But then I kept hearing about it and I'm like, all right, I gotta see this movie. Like, it seems like it's interesting. Not knowing anything about the plot, all I know is that Lea Seydoux was in it. It's French American actress. That's all I knew about it. And I went to go see it this past Monday and was transported into so many different worlds. I was literally mind blown. It's the only movie that has blown my mind this year so far.
So would you say that it's, would you classify it as horror, thriller?
I would more.
Or is it adjacent to horror?
There's definitely horror elements in there, like feeling of dread and like tragedy. I would say it's like sci-fi as like the main genre.
Okay.
Definitely has elements of, it's not really comedic, but there are like comedic moments in it that's like subtly funny. But it's not like, it's nowhere near a comedy.
Right.
So I went in there just blind, not knowing anything. I didn't know if it was a drama, sci-fi, horror. I had no clue. And the more like the movie went on and the layers kept getting peeled back, I was like, this movie is incredible. I was like, what is going, like, it will make you think and question. It's just like a good kind of introspective type of movie. It's a movie that makes you, like, I don't know, want to accept love. That's all I'll say.
That's sweet. Sounds good. I mean, you piqued my fancy, sir.
It's wild, dude. It is fucking wild. It's a little bit, it definitely has a lot of hints of like David Cronenberg-esque storytelling, mm-hmm. where it's kind of like, well, again, I'm not going to give it away. I want you to go in blinder than Stevie Wonder, because that's the only way to see it. That man is blind.
Okay.
Despite the conspiracy theorists.
I was going to say, there are some videos where he's like, I don't know, like grabs a fucking microphone or something.
He could feel the energy surging from the wires.
If Stevie Wonder isn't blind, that is the greatest hoax of all time. But I don't want to feed any conspiracy theories, so we'll say he's blind.
Guinness Book of World Record for longest prank ever pulled.
Well, I will go check out The Beast. It's limited showings around here, but I'll try to watch it somewhere. Maybe we can cover it up here or something.
Yeah, dude. I feel like, and if I know you, which I feel like I do, and we're going to get to talking about your IMAX experience with Hereditary. It is about as detailed as Hereditary, and there's a lot of stuff to talk about.
Okay.
With The Beast.
All right.
Like, it's definitely a more than one time watch, because it's just so like rich with information.
Okay. My God. Yeah. Welcome to the What the Fuck Are My Neighbors Doing Today podcast.
I don't hear anything.
Okay. I might just look schizophrenic or something.
That's what you did before we started shooting. And I was like, I don't know what he's looking at, but
what the fuck is it? Dude, that's me. 50% of the time I'm just in my living room and I'm like, what are you doing? Sit down. Just sit. Do you people ever just sit? Chill out.
You need to get a boombox and start blasting Rammstein. Full volume.
No, I just want to live a quiet little life. Be respectful. I just expect the same, but you know, what can you do?
Call the landlord.
Other big news. I am a cat daddy. Yes, it is official.
Let's go, baby.
My little sweet cat Mipsy, she has won my heart. She is there she is. You can't see her in the dark back there, but she's
probably terrified with all the lights off right now.
She's like, who are you talking to? She's just looking at me. Come here, baby. Okay, she's a little camera shy, but yeah.
Did you give her that? Because again, I kind of forgot what we talked about.
Yeah, so her Christian name is is Minnie.
There we go. That's what it was.
Yeah, and I do find myself calling, like, flip-flopping between Minnie and Mipsy. But because she is so tiny, I'm like, oh, I get it now. Minnie makes sense.
What the fuck is a Mipsy?
I don't know. Just cute.
Where did you get it from?
It's actually from one of Ashley's online games. She has a pet cat named Mipsy. I was like,
it's pretty adorable.
I like that. That's, yeah. That
sounds very Pokemon-ish.
Yeah. But yeah, she is very sweet. And now I'm just going to like force you to like, hey, Doug, get a cat. I mean, you'd be an excellent cat dad. You got that energy to you.
I am not a fan of cats per se.
Okay. Well, you better make peace with them, because she ain't going nowhere while you're sleeping here.
It's kind of like, I like being like the cool uncle to cats. I get to play with them. I get to hang out with them, and then I don't go back to them.
I get it.
But yeah, I'm more of a dog human when it comes to having a pet of my own.
I mean, it is okay to like both. I love all animals, but
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's not like I hate cats.
Doug, why do you hate cats? I don't hate cats.
Spray paint his tail, fucker.
So you like an emotionally shallow end?
You tried to milk him, you sick son of a bitch. Easily, let's do an introspective deep dive on Meet the Parents.
Oh my god, I would love to. Dude, that movie is like borderline horror.
Robert De Niro's psychological terror.
Yeah,
on Ben Stiller is just.
If you great. Consider just like awkward viewing a form of horror, it definitely is.
Yeah, just change a little bit of the score, and you got it.
Yeah.
I feel like that movie is so criminally underrated. Like, I feel like Ben Stiller is criminally underrated.
I don't know. I mean, Meet the Parents was huge when it came out.
Yeah, I cut school to go see that movie.
Oh shit.
It was, yeah, I was like, I think I was like 10 or 11. But I don't know. I feel like with Ben Stiller, like, no one gives him the credit he deserves, even though he made like that Zoolander, There's Something About Mary. I feel like when everyone talks about the 90s, it's always Jim Carrey,
Adam Sandler,
and Adam Sandler.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
But Ben Stiller did direct The Cable Guy, so he gets credit for that.
He was also in a very underrated comedy called Flirting with Disaster. Did you ever see that?
A really, really long time ago. That and Keeping the Faith with Edward Norton were two ones that were like always on TV on the Comedy Central cycle, I feel like.
I never saw Keeping the Faith, but Flirting with Disaster, underrated classic.
Who's the broad in that movie?
The broad. Why do I feel like it's Patricia Arquette? I think it is.
I feel like you might be right.
Yeah.
Feel the need to look this up right now, but yeah, I don't even remember. I remember watching that movie, but I definitely don't remember anything about it. 1996. You are right, Patricia Arquette.
Yeah, it's good.
People are like, where the fuck is Late Night with the Devil?
My grandma can run faster than you, and she's only got one leg.
Dodgeball.
No, heavyweights.
Tony. Oh, yeah, shit.
Attention campers. Lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
I was thinking of Dodgeball for some reason.
I mean, Dodgeball is kind of like the sequel to Heavyweights when you think about it. Like, that's Tony Perkis with a stolen identity or something.
Yeah, like he definitely got arrested for being like an infomercial fraud in Heavyweights and then moved to
buying started Globo Gym as
Dwight Goodman.
Dwight Goodman.
Nobody makes me bleed my own blood.
Nobody!
Oh, shit. Before we get into Late Night with the Devil, gotta talk about my first ever IMAX experience.
Oh, I thought you were gonna throw it to our sponsors.
I wish we had sponsors. Somebody sponsor us, please.
Please.
Yeah, whatever. But no, I saw Hereditary last night. It was my first ever IMAX experience. I was like, how different can this be? Well, obviously the screen is fucking massive, but the sound design is insane. I mean, it was so goddamn loud. Yeah, I hadn't seen, obviously, Hereditary in theaters since 2018. So
how packed was the theater?
Not that packed. There was like maybe 30, 40 people there.
Hereditary is one that anyone should see in the theaters. Even if they didn't like it the first time and, you know, watch it at home, it's a whole different experience in the theater.
Yeah, because the sound design really does like fully immerse you in the experience. Like towards, you know, the last 30 minutes of the movie, the tension just keeps building and building. And I had that same feeling as the first time I saw it, where I was like, I am very uncomfortable and I'm kind of ready for this to end. Even though I've seen it like five times at this point.
It's so good when a movie can put you back in that mood, no matter how many times you've seen it. I mean, Hereditary is, I mean, again, we could go on a Hereditary tangent for hours and hours.
Yeah.
There's just so much like lore and atmosphere and intricate details of that movie, but like, man, seeing it on the IMAX screen, I totally wish I went. But I did want to ask you, where's your like theater seat placement usually? Where do you usually like to park that ass?
I like to park that ass. Let's see.
Girl, you look good when you park that ass up.
I mean, obviously you prefer the middle, kind of like dead center of the theater. If you can, if you get your tickets in time and you don't fuck around and wait till like the last day, there's been times where I wait the last hour and I'm like, I take the last seat and it's in the corner on the front rows. You're looking like this. But yeah, of course, like somewhere in the middle. I feel like you're a back of the theater guy. You're like that little goblin that hangs out in the back corner.
you're partially right. If there is, because I will buy a ticket to, usually it's the center towards the left. I like the center left. I like to be either dead center in the middle or middle left. Okay. Or if the theater's packed, I'll usually buy that ticket. And then if the theater's packed, if I don't want to sit next to anyone, then I just sit in the handicap seats and then just park it all the way back there.
Damn.
Then I have like okay. seats to myself. I can put my jacket, my fanny pack on there.
Let me ask you this. I had this internal dilemma last night. Okay, so the movie starts and I'm like, okay, well, there's plenty of, I could move up to this next row and we wouldn't hear the guy's feet right behind our heads right here and hear him snacking on popcorn. Do you get up and take that seat? And this guy's going to be like, oh, what the fuck did I do? Or do you just say, no, this is my seat. I got to live with it. Are you?
I will play musical fucking chairs in any theater. If I see an empty seat and people are being assholes in front of me or behind me, or they won't stop talking, or they keep on playing on their phones, immediate move.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, this guy was perfectly polite, but at the same time, I'm like, you know, it's just the noise of being human. I have a thing about noises where I'm just like, I don't know.
I mean, a movie theater is a sacred place.
Sure.
People should be off their phones. They should chew at a normal volume. You know, I'm the type of person to like, I don't talk through movies, but like, I'll like make exclamations and be like, oh shit, damn.
Ooh. I consider that talking. If you were behind me, I'd be like, hey, I get it, fella. Keep it to yourself.
I'm not screaming it though. Does that matter?
Sure. Yeah.
Cause I'm not like, oh, like getting up and screaming. I'm like to myself. Most of the time I'm by myself watching a movie.
Okay.
So I'm like, ooh, and like at like a pretty low volume.
So why didn't you go see Hereditary last night?
Wasn't playing in the theater around me.
Where did Holly go to see it?
Holly went to go see it in Farmingdale, which is about 25 minutes away from here.
I thought you'd be like, okay, I'm taking off work, got my ticket, I'm going, I don't care.
So funny enough, so last week when they went on sale or whatever, I texted Holly. I'm like, let's go see Hereditary. And she's like, I bought my tickets already. And I was like, oh shit. And she was like, oh yeah, I bought mine really quick because I didn't want them to sell out. And I was like, oh, yeah, like, yeah, I totally want it. But she would have to go out of the way to pick me up. And I was like, I didn't end up buying a ticket because I was like, I saw it in theaters already. I would like to see it in IMAX, but it just didn't work out.
Okay. Well, I can't say you didn't miss out because, man, I kind of felt the same way. I was like, well, I have seen it several times. You know, IMAX tickets aren't cheap. It was like $50 for two tickets.
Oh, wow.
20-minute drive. But I went, and yeah, I was fully immersed. I was back in 2018 just like on the edge of my seat. Yeah, that movie is a masterclass of ratcheting tension and just not letting up.
And I feel like that's what you have to give Bo is Afraid credit on, even if I know you didn't like the movie, but yeah, the tension in that movie, in a lot of the scenes, like you could, Ari Aster does that very well. I feel like in every one of his movies, he kind of just plays with your mind and really sets up a lot of scenes with a lot of tension. It's not just like bam, 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 quick cuts and everything. He like stays in the pocket.
While I was watching Hereditary, I had this thought, and I think it's one of the only movies I've ever seen. There might be a couple others where you kind of get this feeling like I shouldn't be seeing this. It's like almost like I feel like something bad is going to happen to me because I'm watching this, and like something is going to fucking follow me home. Like I kind of want to leave. I don't know. It got to me last night.
Do you think that's why some people don't enjoy it? Because it makes them feel so like unsettled that they're like, you know what? I just don't even like this movie. But
I don't know. And we talked about this last night. There's a slew of fucking bozos out there that are like, I don't like Hereditary. Like, okay. I mean, hey, you got to respect people's opinions, right? But
yes,
if you're a horror movie fan and you think Hereditary sucks, I question your judgment. I really do.
I mean, I totally understand that everyone has their own tastes of certain genres, but also I'm with you. I feel like Hereditary is that unifying thing that I would imagine every horror movie lover would be into. It has tension, it has scares, there's a story, it's terrifying, dreadful. I could use a whole bunch of other adjectives. But just use the word masterclass again, like you just used. The movie was just executed perfectly. And I've heard the argument that, oh yeah, I enjoyed it up until the last, you know, 20 minutes or 10 minutes. And I was like,
why?
But without that, you wouldn't have the same movie. I mean, it totally flips the story on its head because you don't realize that it's about, you know, this like, you know, cult that kind of set this family up for their own demise until the last, you know, couple minutes of the movie.
Yeah, that the whole end of the movie, from the second where Peter wakes up, sits up on his bed, and Toni Collette is just in the fucking corner. Yeah. Every moment from there on out is just like, my nerves are just fucking done. I mean, especially seeing it in IMAX.
And let me just tell you, and I'm sure it was amazing in IMAX, that you felt even more of that like dread.
Yeah.
The perfection of the silent jump scare when Toni Collette is on the ceiling and the camera slowly pans out. I mean, how did that look on IMAX? Because like you have the whole, I mean, the aspect ratio is larger.
Yeah. I was going to say like,
so does that work on the bigger screen?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It definitely, like, you see everything perfectly. And that whole sequence of Peter waking up, every time I watch it, I catch new things. When Peter's walking down the hallway, you hear like this loud kind of crash, and he notices it, but he doesn't go and check it out. And I was like, oh, that was the attic door opening and the ladder hitting the floor. So the cult members were already in the attic. So they were like, okay, well, he's either going to come up the attic and check it out and we have him then, or he's going to go downstairs and Annie is going to chase him up the stairs, and Annie slips as she's chasing him. I think that was intentional.
Well, she's already possessed, so I don't think anything was an accident.
Yeah. Nothing in that movie, everything is so meticulous, and nothing is accidental. Like right down to the the background actors, the fucking jewelry they're wearing. It, yeah, every time I see it, I'm like, oh shit, I didn't even catch that the first time.
It's genius. I love movies that make you pay attention. I love challenging, you know, I love some garbage too, but like the movies that like really make you focus and really make you pay attention and like challenge you as a viewer, which is why I like Skinamarink so much. It's a challenge of a movie to watch on a different level than Hereditary.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
But it was Hereditary was next level something else that I think kind of hard to replicate, but it seems like every couple years one of those movies come out that you're like, oh, reinvention of the horror genre, let's go. Hereditary was that, definitely in 2018.
Yeah, and I don't think that since it came out, I mean there's been some movies that kind of came close, but I mean Hereditary's king. You know what other movie I kind of got that same feeling, like, ooh, this feels like I shouldn't be seeing this, like I'm looking at something that, like The Witch kind of gives me those same vibes.
That movie I need to rewatch, and I think I'm going to rewatch it tonight as soon as I finish Rain Man. I'm going to put on The Witch. Weird back-to-back double feature.
As soon as I finish Rain Man, I'm going to put on The Witch.
Dude, I have some great, like, my brain is just like kind of, with movie watching nowadays, it just kind of jumps from whatever genre to whatever.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I do the same.
It's like there's so many movies that like I want to watch, and they might be completely different from each other. But I didn't get a chance to finish Rain Man. I watched it a long, long time ago, but I don't really remember it. So I'm kind of like refreshing.
Well, watch it with subtitles if you do.
Yeah, I am.
Okay. A Late Night with the Devil. Where to start? I love the concept of it. I love the aesthetic. I think they pull off the late 70s talk show vibe very well. Great practical effects. Interesting story. I stayed engaged the entire time. I know a lot of people have a kind of a problem with the ending. So I guess we don't have to, let's not start at the ending just yet. But what were your overall thoughts? Because we gave it the same rating on Letterboxd, 3.5 out of 5. I feel like that's... Yeah. That's...
It was a solid, solid movie.
Yeah.
I didn't come out loving it. I mean, it's fresh in your mind. You just watched it a couple days ago or a week ago. But yeah, I wanted to make sure that I saw this one in the theater because it was getting a lot of hype. David Desmalchin is... I love him in literally everything. So it was nice to finally see him get a leading role where he can really show his range. I mean, he was in Prisoners, Dune, Ant-Man.
He was in The Boogeyman, right?
Yes.
Was he the dad in The Boogeyman?
No, he was the patient that, I'm sorry, spoilers for that.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah.
Late Night with the Devil. I really liked it. I feel like it could benefit from a few more viewings. That type of found footage movie where it's like, I feel like a lot of the found footage movies, it's like you're kind of like these conversations are happening and the kind of just places you in there with nearly no semblance of like what's actually going on. And I like that there's like a straightforward narrative in the
it's split between you have like a straightforward TV show / movie format. Whenever it cuts to commercial, it goes to this handheld found footage style.
Yes, of still, but like kind of like behind the scenes of like that same narrative of them like really, I kind of like the juxtaposition of on the air, you know, everything's peppy and fun. And then once it cuts to like the found footage portion,
right,
everything's like falling apart and it's like melting down. And I liked how they had fun characters on there. The girl that plays the possessed
Lily
girl is fantastic.
Yeah, I told you, I think that might be the best possessed acting I've seen since maybe like The Exorcist. As far as at least my personal preference, like my favorite. Yeah, she was like hypnotic. I liked how she came out and she was all fucking weird and just staring at the camera and doing these awkward little body movements. And I was like, something's up with this kid.
Right? She's really not normal. But also the way she was kind of like almost, it's going to sound weird, but like, because she was possessed, but like sexually attracted to Jack Delroy.
Yeah.
Practical effects were absolutely great. The whole guts. I kind of liked that you didn't know what was real and you didn't know what was for TV. I liked that aspect of it too. I wish they would have fleshed this part out more, but like the cult aspect of it. Kind of like, again, spoilers for Late Night with the Devil if you haven't seen it on Shudder or in the movie theaters. Okay. That was their cue to pause.
Okay.
When they're, I guess he kind of sacrificed fame for you know, he joined that, like, joined up with like that cult or whatever.
Yeah, I guess it was alluded to that he was a part of this cult of the elites where they do these sacred rituals, but at one point he's like, yeah, I promise you it's not as exciting as it sounds or something like that. But there was definitely something more to that part of the story that didn't quite get explored. I know what you mean. I feel like they could have fleshed that out a bit more.
Yeah, it was a short movie. So I feel like even if you added just another 15 minutes of even like the more, I was expecting a lot more chaos. Throughout the movie, you know, like this frenetic energy of everyone just like running around. It was only really the ending where that happened. I mean, I love the somber approach of like the magician trying to prove to the audience it was like a trick. That was really fun. That was very tense, really good atmosphere there. But I just wanted to see like balls to the wall, hectic.
To be fair, towards the end, Lily's head like splits open.
That was cool.
Yeah, that's somebody's gonna have that on a t-shirt or something. I was like, yeah, that's fucking sick. That's pretty hectic, balls to the wall.
I wish it was like more, like longer, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Or maybe it should have, maybe instead of the ending that we got, which I gotta say was a little lackluster, and I'm actually, as I'm saying this, I'm having trouble recalling exactly what happened.
Yeah, I'm a little fuzzy on it too, since I saw it last month.
Yeah.
Once, I remember
we're professionals here. I promise. Right? We're like, the ending. What happened again?
Yeah, this is a really A plus review. But no, I think the ending was actually really cool, from what I'm remembering. Kind of David Desmalchin's character was kind of almost tripping out in a way, where he was like going through different like scenes. Like he went up to like the audience and it kept on like switching. He kind of was in like this like lucid dream state type of deal, and then I feel like he was like in the forest surrounded by like those cult members, and he holds like a knife or something.
Yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah, it's a very kind of trippy, psychedelic, dreamlike ending, and I just kind of felt like the ending needed a little more oomph. Yeah. Or maybe perhaps like the chaos spills outside of the TV station somehow, and there's like a change of setting, maybe some closure to all the answers with the cults and the cult that Lily was trapped in, that satanic cult.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But that would be cool to explore a little bit more, but honestly, I feel like they left enough mystery where people want to keep talking about it, and you could theorize a whole bunch of different scenarios.
But yeah, overall, I really enjoyed it. I'll definitely revisit it probably around Halloween.
Yeah, it's a good Halloween. It's like a comforting Halloween watch. I think the directors should just keep doing this type of stuff, like this small scale, very intimate stories in the horror genre. I think it would be very beneficial to them and for the fans. I mean, they did a really solid job with this movie. Again, not like I didn't like love it, but if this is the direct same thing with like the Talk to Me guys, if that's the direction that they're going in, I want to see more.
Well, it is two brothers,
Colin, yeah, from Australia, I think, actually.
Yeah.
Australia is killing it right now in the horror game.
Yeah, Australian brothers. That's where it's at.
It's almost as it's almost a pattern like the Exorcism movies coming out this year.
Oh yeah. Don't have enough of those. Could always use some more. Oh, there's a priest and what you know.
Especially with Russell Crowe in it.
Wait, there's another one?
I messaged this to you on Instagram. There's an other fucking Russell Crowe Exorcism movie called The Exorcism.
And they just announced
Al Pacino,
and Dan Stevens in a movie called The Ritual about two priests struggling with their faith, but they have to save a little girl that's possessed. It's like
The Exorcist?
Get fucked. Like, how many more of these do we need?
I mean, solid casting. I do like Dan Stevens and Al Pacino.
I mean,
what was done, but
Al Pacino's a legend, but come on.
Hey, get out of there, demon.
I hear Oppenheimer.
That demon had a great ass.
I think what this demon needs is a Dunkachino.
Oh, fuck. Not do a Pacino impression. I'm sorry for that, but...
better than mine. I'm just yelling.
Oh, yeah. Played out subgenre. Holy shit.
Yeah, Russell Crowe exorcism movies. Apparently that's like a hole in the universe now.
So is it going to be a sequel to the Pope's Exorcism?
No, it's a completely... I looked it up on IMDb because I was like shocked. I thought it was a sequel. I thought it was a joke. I thought this was like the next Pope's Exorcist, Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah,
it's not. He's playing a completely different character, completely different movie. The chick from Chloe Bailey is in it. No, Halle Bailey was in The Little Mermaid remake. What?
Reel it in. Come on. You're spinning out.
I was like, what's the problem here?
My brain's following all these blind alleys.
My brain is a spider web. It just keeps going, going off. Charlotte, calm down.
Take out my fishing pole. Like, come on.
Reel it in, baby. We got this big striped bass to take care of. But yeah, it's not the same movie, is what I discovered.
Yeah, that's insane. And just,
but he looks exactly the same in it, like beard, fat, out of shape.
Well, okay. Come on out of here, demon. I want to fight. I'm Russell Crowe.
Oh my god, it's Russell Crowe. Oh my god, it's Russell Crowe. Oh my god, why don't you mind your own business, you scrout? Oh.
I think that would be better. Celebrity death match with like Pazuzu or something.
I guess we got to talk about this with Late Night with the Devil. This is a hot debate.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think you already know what I'm going to talk about.
Yeah, I wasn't even going to mention it because it's just, yeah, keep it going.
So there were like, you know, those we'll be right back cards on the screen. A few of those were AI generated images. And some people have taken the stance of any movie that uses AI at all, fuck it, I'm not going to watch it. I guess I understand in a way. But my big thing is like, if that's all you're going to use AI for, is just these little title cards, like why use it at all?
I agree with you. I understand your point, but I am so against AI like taking over a writer's job to tell a story, or you know, studio executives using AI to, you know, have their voice be heard in the movie or scene or what they're thinking of. But if it's not taking away from any creative or any writer or any artist, if the artist chooses to use AI, I don't really see a huge problem with it. Again, if it's not taking someone else's job, then I don't see it as a big problem. But also, to your point, why not just create something yourself? But if it's the artist's choice to use AI, I mean, that's the medium that they want to use.
Yeah.
I don't think it's, you know, if it doesn't disrupt the story, in this case, Late Night with the Devil, there was those title cards. I didn't even notice it.
Yeah.
I think it was such on a minimal level that how could anyone tell that it's AI?
Yeah.
Like, did you notice that? Because I didn't.
Not really. Or maybe I did, because I think I read an article saying like, yeah, on the title cards, that was the only time. And you could argue, hey, why not just hire a graphic designer real quick, have them come up with something probably better. I mean, who knows? This was a low budget movie. Maybe they had already wrapped filming and they were like, well, we kind of need like some title cards. I think we could do something different with that. Maybe it was just like, oh, well, we'll just throw these images up there, whatever.
Yeah, but the movie shouldn't be boycotted just because it's use of AI in that specific case. Obviously, it's on a case-to-case basis with how movies and writers and artists decide to use AI. To use it for a graphic, I think that's harmless. If they're using it for like writing purposes and like keeping writers out of a job, then yeah, that's pretty offensive to like the human condition.
This might be a dumb question, but when it comes to like CGI and things like that, isn't that kind of a form of artificial intelligence? Or maybe not, it's a form of intelligence, but it is being sculpted with a human brain.
Well, I know AI is like, it compiles a whole bunch of images from like the internet. And with CGI, I feel like, I don't know how they create it. I know when I was in computer animation class, we used this program called like Maya.
Yeah. I've heard of Maya. Yeah.
Right. And, it's like one, almost one in the same, but they're kind of like neighbors in a way.
But do you think when CGI started to come along, I mean, there's like, that's going to take away jobs from people that do practical effects, and that's like their thing. So
that's true. I mean, you do need humans to operate.
Yeah.
You know, CGI and create it. But yeah, I'm sure a lot of, like you said, people who worked on practical effects, maybe they had to learn a new trade, and AI is just so easy. Like anyone can do it.
I guess there's that point that there's not a human behind it.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is like, how far do we let that go? Do we take a stand and say, this movie, I don't care if they used AI for a split second, like if you support that. I see the point, but I also don't see kind of throwing a little hissy fit and being like, well, fuck this movie altogether and the hard work that got put into it.
Yeah, I mean, again, it didn't, their usage of AI, it didn't mess with the story, it didn't mess with the acting, it didn't mess with the characters. Only thing they used it for was a title card. But if AI gets in the wrong hands, like a studio that doesn't want to pay their writers or pay for graphic designs, literally all these posters that come out nowadays literally look like AI, because it's just...
Well, at this point, I think AI could be more creative than the posters people have been putting out.
It's like, I don't know who creates those posters of just like one image with a white background, the most effort, like it's so effortless.
Yeah, compared to like the 80s when you have these beautiful full art pieces.
And Late Night with the Devil, that poster is incredible. That was not AI.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I feel like, I mean, if AI falls in the wrong hands, I'm against it. And if it's used in the wrong way, but I totally see why the, you know, they were striking against it, obviously, because it could totally excommunicate people out of jobs.
Yeah. As far as writing goes, that's like, no, but I don't know. It's a topic that is here to stay. I mean,
it's dangerous.
Look, there was this dangerous. There was this video. I think it was from like 1991 or two. It's like this news story because Burger King was now going to start accepting credit cards as a form of payments. So they were like interviewing people eating at Burger King. Like, what do you think about like credit cards and stuff? And they're like, I don't trust it. I'm not giving them my information, you know? So are we, or the people that are hard stance against AI, are we those people sitting in Burger King saying like, I'm not giving them my credit card. It's cash only for me.
I just hope it doesn't slow things down at the cash and carry, that people are going to be having to call New York and get the confirmation or, you know, whatever it is. Because when I want a Whopper, I want it now.
Just another way to spend money. I'm sure it'll work for people on vacation when they don't have to do something, but I can't imagine it working on a day-to-day basis here.
That's a wonderful analogy, even though I prefer McDonald's over Burger King if I had to pick. But it was a Burger King commercial, so there's no changing the past.
I think it was a Burger King commercial.
Yeah, I mean, every decade, every year, I mean, technology is going to get weirder. People are going to be more intelligent to create these means of technology. So I think at the time, like, I guess it's all relative to the time you live in. But even though, I mean, credit cards are so much of the norm now, I don't think AI is going to become the new normal. You know,
like, I mean, who knows? As far as just movies go, look, I've seen videos of, there's these AI programs out there. You can literally type in, a blonde lady is walking down a rainy street in Japan. She bumps into a gentleman dressed in a tuxedo and lights her cigarette, shot in 16 millimeter. And it'll take that transcript and give you back footage that you wouldn't be able to tell that it was AI. It looks literally like a movie. So that technology is out there and it's going to become more prominent. So it's going to get really interesting.
I feel like there has to be a way to like police AI in some way where like everyone can't get their hands on it, you know?
Well, like, think about this. Say you are an aspiring filmmaker. You live in bumfuck Oklahoma. You don't have a lot of money, but you've always wanted to make movies. If that person uses that tool to get this shot in Japan, which would cost thousands of dollars to fly to Japan, shut down the street, get permits, get this camera, pay for this and that, he would never be able to obtain that. But with a program like that, he can make his movie. But if a major studio uses that same technology to start cutting jobs, like, well, we don't have to fly a crew out and do all this. We got this program right here. That's where I have a problem with it.
It's a huge, sharp, double-edged sword.
Yeah.
Because like I feel like it also diminishes creativity in a way where, you know, granted, that for example, that person that you spoke about wanting to shoot in Japan and can't get there or whatever, you know, you won't have to think. I feel like it helps you think outside of the box when you have to like create the atmospheres yourself rather than just type something in, hit a button, and it's just there. Like that immediate, like that want it now impulse. I feel like that's the age we're living in, like the want it now culture. Like I talked about this with my stepbrother long time ago, when the suicides, the first Suicide Squad was coming out, bear with me. But they were like, and again, it happens with so many movies that people take, you've done it yourself. You take pictures of, like behind the scenes photos, and they're like exclusive back behind the scenes look of Jared Leto as a Joker. And I'm like, we can't have surprises anymore. It's so hard to keep something so under wraps. Like for example, Cloverfield came out in 2008. That was a whole viral marketing campaign. I don't think it would be so much, it would be so much harder to execute that nowadays because people are just everywhere. And the internet, I feel like, can provide you like that technology can provide you with, you know, you could just spread that around so easily. You take a picture and it gets to millions and millions of people, and now your surprise is ruined.
I guess that's just the cost of living with technology. I mean, I kind of miss the days where I didn't know every detail about a movie years leading up to it. Like, oh, this studio bought the rights to this, and they're in talks with this director, and they hired this writer. And I miss the days of just, yeah. Oh, I go see Scream 2 and I see a trailer for I Still Know What You Did Last Summer. And that's how I find out about it. Yeah. I'm like, well, I'm going to go see that. No way that's going to suck.
or you read about it like in the trades, like you pick up Variety or something like that. And you read about, cause I mean, reporting has been a thing, but like everything is just, it just gets watered down and ruined. And again, I hate to bring up the superhero stuff because you're not a fan of it, but like they like Target releases exclusive toys that spoil the movie. Because they like, you know, they, I think want to say like Spider-Man, like a Spider-Man suit that was being used in No Way Home was leaked because a toy was coming out that had that suit, and it came out before the movie. Just like, what do you, why?
Well, I mean, how different can the suit be? I don't know. I'm sure it's going to have the fucking logo with some webs on it. Yeah, go fuck yourself.
Hey, Peter Parker, go fuck yourself.
Hey, Peter Parker, take a hike.
Don't make me come ring your doorbell and ring your fucking nuts.
Don't die, Uncle Bill.
You got this knuckle sandwich. Uncle Ben's like, I'm going to go fuck your grandma.
Yeah, I feel like we're starting to get into like boomer yelling at a cloud territory, like damn technology ruining everything. But
it's true though. I mean, there nothing beats a human being writing a story. There's a human touch, there's a human element that makes things feel authentic.
I don't know. It's look, if I could press a button right now and say stop AI from infiltrating into movies, I would, but I can't. Just like I can't tell people like, hey, this iPhone I have here that can do literally fucking anything, this is good enough. Let's just stop. Like how much further do we need to keep going?
Sure. I agree. It's unhealthy to some degree.
Yeah, it's like a paralysis of choice. There's just too much shit.
When you have the option there, you need to have some kind of self-control, but there's just so, I mean, it does have its perks. Like people are a lot more informed now. There's a lot of stuff to watch. There's a lot of talent, a lot of entertainment. I was talking about this with someone at work the other day. I wonder how you feel about it. I don't remember the last time I was bored.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Like there's so much stuff, and I don't know, it could have to do with just aging.
I mean, I get bored at work all the time. You're fucking 45 minutes into a 90-minute massage, and I'm just like, oh, fuck.
It's for a purpose. You're making money.
Yeah.
You got to remind yourself of that. But like when I was, I don't know, like even my early 20s, I would just be like, I'm bored. And just being, and now I feel like, I don't know, I have so much stuff at my fingertips that I'm like, even if I'm home sitting in silence, which I tend to sometimes do because it's pretty refreshing, I'm not bored. Like, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Like, I have everything.
Yeah, I mean, I think boredom is a lost feeling or it's becoming more rare these days.
Yeah, like, or people don't want to be with their own thoughts. They want to distract themselves from boredom.
Yeah, because boredom inspires imagination. Like, think about when you were a kid and all you had was two fucking toys to play your G.I. Joes or whatever, and you create a movie like, oh, you know, you come up with this thing, but now it's, oh, I'll just look at my iPad and
what? Yeah, that's true. Whatever. That's true. We used to, like, you know, when you don't have that technology available, it forces you to think of stuff. I mean, dude, if this wasn't weird, I would go out right now. I know exactly where to go. Milo's Toys. It's like a thrift shop. They have the 1990s Jax wrestling figures. I would go buy 20 of them. I would buy the ring. I would buy the Titantron, and I would sit here in my fucking living room and have matches and commentate. Dude, that was the best time.
That sounds like a good time right now.
That's what I'm saying. But I feel like it's weird.
You want to make a fort and we will fucking
let's fucking do it.
I'll get out my Michael Myers figures and we can,
dude, let's fucking go.
My God, Michael's on the top rope.
Doesn't that sound like so much fun? It sounds so lighthearted and whimsical.
He's gonna drop the Haddonfield hammer.
Oh, oh, Jason Voorhees coming to the ring. He's got the machete.
Fun and terrifying trip down the dangers of technology and AI and all that. But yeah, we got to talk about Abigail. I keep forgetting about Abigail.
Wow. Very unexpected.
What did you think about this movie, Doug? As far as the Ready or Not team, Radio Silence, they made Ready or Not, Scream 5 and 6, and this one. Would you say that this one is your favorite out of those?
Huh. No, I would not. I think Ready or Not was their best work. If I had to say, you know, out of those movies, I think Ready or Not was more refreshing than the other three.
I mean, I only saw it once and I don't remember much, but I remember it was a female lead trapped in a house with bad people and she's trying to escape. So I had flashbacks to that when I watched.
Sound familiar?
The Throne of Vampire.
I mean, Samara Weaving carried Ready or Not in my eyes. It kind of seemed like Radio Silence was kind of going back into the familiarity hole with exploding bodies and people being chased around a house and stuff like that. It just felt like they were doing something that they've done before. I think their humor is god awful.
So it was the same writers that did Scream 5 and 6. And I mean, there were some humorous moments in this movie. There were times where I was like, this is kind of fun and silly and I'm playing along and it's entertaining. I'm having fun. However, I was telling you this on the phone at the night after I saw it. There's just something about this team. I don't know if it's the writing style or what, but it just feels phony and contrived and just soulless. Like, all their works on Scream and this, it's like they have a chart out and they're like, okay, well, we hit this mark and we threw in a funny moment here and a decent fun kill here. So this should come out to a well-loved horror movie.
It's like a math equation. Like, there's bullet points that they think they have to hit and then everything has to get fleshed out around those bullet points. But dude, you said it perfectly. It's just devoid of emotion.
Yeah.
It's devoid of humor. It's devoid of emotion. And I know people have rated this 5 stars. I know people have loved Abigail. I just don't subscribe to this team of writers and directors. It just seems all too familiar. It on like a watered down level. It's like watered down horror to me, watered down comedy to me. It's not, there's no edge, there's no flavor, there's no feeling.
Watered down emotion. It's like, oh, but they did the pinky promise thing at the end. That's
and that, dude,
I'm going to pull on their heartstrings. See, we added that part. Check mark. And it's like, I know what you're doing. I just don't believe it. It's just something's missing.
Make a horror movie a horror movie. Horror comedies are fine. But like, I feel like they're going in so many different directions that it doesn't gel well together. And like you said, their writing, and I believe it's the writing, is so hollow that those emotional moments don't hit, like with the pinky promise and the fucking Fab Four or whatever the fucking, what are they called?
Yeah. Core Four.
Core Four. There you go.
Fab Four.
I was thinking of the Beatles. I know it was something kitschy like that.
We got to kill Ghostface.
Talk about a helter skelter, am I right? Yeah, it's just there's so much wrong to me about this movie, and I feel like they just churn them out so fast with like only one intention, and I don't know these guys personally, obviously, so this is just coming from pure speculation, just from what I've seen, but it just seems like they're just churning out movies to turn a profit, and there's really there's nothing to hang on. There's nothing memorable.
Well, they're not doing very good if that's their goal, because I think this had a budget of like $30 million, and I don't even think it's broken that yet.
Oh no, I think the first weekend, I think it made like $7 million. I want to say, but I could be wrong. I don't think it quite hit double digits yet. If it did, low double digits.
It's not going to be a success by any means.
And the only reason why Scream was successful is because Scream.
Right.
People will go to see Scream because it's a name. Ready or Not got a lot of buzz. I don't know how well it did at the box office, but I just don't think these guys have what it takes to make a really memorable horror movie. And that's not taking anything away from people who love it. I just don't see it. I just don't see the vision.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of people say, hey, I had a lot of fun watching this, and I see why. I'm not trying to take away from your experience, but me personally, it's just, you know, for all the reasons I mentioned earlier, I'm like, it's just...
Too many things annoyed me. Why was Kevin Durant talking like Arnold Schwarzenegger the entire time? Why did he have that accent? Why?
Because they all have big muscles, so he must be stupid.
Oh, right. Like every generic character imaginable. Yeah. Let's all sit around a table and just exposition dump of what we are, who we are.
Yeah, that was pretty painful. And Esposito
said all their fake names one time, and everyone remembered them. Impossible. No one has that good of a memory off the bat.
And didn't you say they stuck with those names for the rest of the movie?
Yes. Once they learned their real names, they still use the fake names.
Yeah, I didn't even catch that the first time. But
just
or only time. Again, I'm not rewatching it.
and let me just say, the actress that played Abigail, 10 out of 10. Wonderful. I think she's fucking great. I think she was underserved in this movie with the writing. Could have done something cool. I like the way she, you know, she did a great job of going from playing an innocent child to like this devious little menace. Why were their fucking teeth so shiny? It literally looked like they had Party City fangs with like a shimmer on them. Like it looked comic. Maybe that was the intention, but like the fangs didn't fit anyone's mouths. They look too CGI. Are you looking for your cat?
Yes. Sorry. Go ahead. No, keep talking.
You're like swinging like a fucking pendulum.
I was trying to show her off on camera.
Okay. Where's she at?
She's hiding now. So anyways, I wasn't bothered by the teeth. I was fine with that.
I hated it. I hated the way they looked. Even the teeth in like Renfield. I know you dislike that movie, but like it just looked.
Yeah, I disliked it, but
well, maybe all right, maybe
mixed
just
bag.
One
mixed bag.
Yeah, I don't know. The practical effects can do so much. And then with the bodies exploding, it's literally Ready or Not. Like, y'all did this already.
Yeah.
Can't you think of something else?
I think these guys, look, they're
one trick ponies.
Look, they're totally competent filmmakers. I mean, they know how to film a scene and film action well. I think they should go make an action movie or something. Like, get out of the horror genre, because you're not. Between any of their movies, I can't name a single scene where there was like actual tension. Not jump scares, like, oh my God, a loud sound and it jolted you, because anybody can do that. I could blast an air horn into the microphone and everybody listening would be like, huh. So, but actual tension, I think they're incapable of creating that.
I just think they're, you're right. I think they're just surface level guys. I don't think they could crack the surface and really go deep into character, or even like, I mean, the location was cool. Like, the house they chose was cool, but like,
yeah, the conveniently creepy house.
Yeah. They didn't really do anything there.
Can we talk about the absurd fucking plot of this movie to begin with? Like, okay, you got seven people. They've assembled a team of the best criminals. They're going to kidnap this little girl. They're going to take her to this haunted house while the dad scrounges up $50 million. It's like in Austin Powers when he's like, $1 billion.
And everyone's laughing. They're like, the fuck's this guy talking about?
What's he going to put $50 million in a fucking duffel bag? Throw it on the front porch. Okay, you guys can leave now. No, he's going to have to back up a Brinks truck to the front of that house.
You can't even get, what is it, $50 million?
$50 million.
You would have to buy like every Monopoly set on eBay in every state and every Target. And still, you probably wouldn't even have $50 million. $50 million.
Yeah. And
million.
I mean, assuming it's a wire transaction, you know, the FBI is going to be all over that. Good luck getting that transferred in 24 hours. I might be going into the weeds here, but I was like, this is a fucking dumbass plot.
$100 billion.
Like, yeah, again, it's just a catalyst for all the dumb set pieces that they have of action.
And then the guy's like, all right, have a little sleepover. I'll see you tomorrow. What?
And like, the, I'm all for like inventiveness and ingenuity, but like the cages between the fucking like windows, like the brick walls or whatever, close in the windows. It's like, really? Really? Is that what's happening?
Yeah.
Dracula has that? Oh, dude, I was expecting, and it, like, it kept, the movie just kept going.
Yeah,
it had like five endings. I was like, what the fuck? It kept getting lamer and lamer. Like, oh, Giancarlo Esposito is a fucking vampire. And then Dan Stevens wants to be a vampire. And then he's fighting Melissa Barrera and the little girl, and they team up together. And then the father comes home, and I was waiting to hear, I am Dracula. And I was going to fucking spit at the screen if he said that. I think he alluded to it because he was like, I have many names throughout the years. And the working title of this movie was Dracula's Daughter. So,
dude, when the dad showed up at the very end in the final 5 minutes, I was like, who the fuck are you? You can't. No, you can't do this.
And the way they reveal it, they like pan up to him like you're expected to know who it is. And also, I'm sorry, why is everyone John Wick in this movie? Melissa Barrera is getting her ass kicked all the way up and down the fucking hallway, getting thrown into glass. She's fine.
Gets a fucking rod through her shoulder.
And pulls it out.
Yeah.
And then both of them have the hardest time. You know, you would think like she has more, and she, what did she say? She was like, I don't have enough power, Abigail. And then continues to beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
And Dan Stevens, all of a sudden, as soon as he turns into a vampire, I don't know, did he have a leather jacket on beforehand? Because all of a sudden he turned into vampire Danny Zuko with like the glasses on. I was like, what the fuck is going on? I was expecting him to say, hey, a hickey from Kinnicky's like a Hallmark card. I was like, this is just not good.
He's like, how's it going, Toots? Come to this haunted house often.
Hey, you here for the gangbang? That's a line in Greece. I could, maybe I'm a fucking curmudgeon. Maybe I don't like to have fun. This is not my idea of fun. Like, it wasn't funny. I didn't laugh at anything. I think their sense of humor is so
corny,
stagnant, like just stagnant. And like, oh, the fucking onions, like whatever.
I kind of like that line. I do have to give props to Dan Stevens. I thought he was good. I mean, he's pretty solid in everything.
I like him having fun.
You know what? I thought for a second in that movie, I was like, oh, I think Dan Stevens is like turning a corner and he's going to like turn into a good guy. That's an interesting twist. Kind of like in the Dawn of the Dead remake when one of the asshole security guards slowly like smartens up and becomes a hero by the end of the movie. I was Zach like,
Snyder's best movie.
I was like, that would be cool. But no, it's as cliche and predictable as you think.
And like, they're Melissa, all like,
Melissa Barrera lives. Dan Stevens dies, of course. He turns into the villain. And it was just so predictable. Like, if they had killed Melissa Barrera, like subverted expectations, I would give them points for that. But just like in the Scream movies, they play it so goddamn safe. Yeah. It's so predictable. Yes. They never take chances. That's one of the many reasons why I fucking hate Radio Silence. I don't like their movies.
Dude, and also, like, that study that they were in, it literally felt like when they were coming through the doorway, it was like the fucking Royal Rumble. It was like, contestant number 31, and Abigail just comes down with her fucking teeth, and she jumps on Dan Stevens' back, and then the father comes in. It's like, what the fuck is going on? And also, I forgot to mention, the candy thing. Like,
oh yeah,
how on the nose do you, oh, she's a junkie, she used to be a junkie, so she's eating candy, this is how you know she's a junkie, character trait alert. Wow. You couldn't think of anything else? Yeah. Telling you, man, surface level people.
Dude, that scene where Melissa Barrera is like, oh yeah, I got you figured out, oh, you used to be a cop, blah blah blah, I was like, this is the Scream 6 killer reveal right here. This is so corny. And I can, for some reason with these movies, with these directors and writers, I can practically see them typing out the script as the scene is going on. Like, yeah, they're like, oh yeah, people are gonna love this. This is a real zinger.
And that's the thing. They need to have someone of talent to check them. To be like, this isn't fucking good. Do better.
Yeah.
And listen, well, I am all for Melissa Barrera for standing up for what she believes in. I'm all for that. I don't think she can act. And that's not taking away anything from her as a person. I love that she speaks out against what she doesn't believe and what she believes. I love that she speaks for, you know, her people. I love that she's very outspoken with that. Completely different than saying she does not carry a movie in my eyes.
She was better in this than Scream 6. Definitely better than Scream 5. I mean, yeah. Jesus.
Said non-flashbacks.
The oak tree outside my apartment is better than that.
What's the difference?
You hang a fucking tire sweep from Melissa Brown.
Hey, I got a new bird. I got a new birdhouse. I know exactly where to put it.
You want to? You want to show a little pizzazz? Come on.
How about a little sparkle? Just spray you with some Armor All, get you shining a little bit. But I want to see.
But no, and, look, I know we. Some people might say we're too harsh on Melissa Barrera. She is a lot better in this movie, like leaps and bounds better.
I support her. I'll go see movies that she's in. I don't, you know, I just dislike her as an actress. I want to see her do better.
She needs to get with different writers.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Like, lead these dudes and like team up with some people that, I don't know, can just give you some better dialogue, put you in a better movie.
I feel like she has it. I feel like she has it. She has the, she has, and honestly, I could see her doing action movies. She has the build to be like an action star. I don't know if you ever saw it.
Yeah. Thumbs up.
Apple agrees with me.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would like to see Melissa Barrera given a better stage to shine on, because yeah, these radio silence dudes are not it.
They need to take a break. They need to like reset and figure out what else they want to do. Those collection of dudes just don't work together. I just don't think they're that talented.
I mean, they are solid at putting out mediocre movies. That's the best I can give them. I don't know. But for some reason, dude, I just, all their movies, I'm just like, I'm not buying this. This is so contrived and just hollow. It's just
been done with like all the shit that they're not like breaking barriers, and every movie doesn't need to break the barrier. But like, for example, Barbarian was fun. That's a fun movie to me. It just like, it's just, it seemed fresh.
It was unpredictable. Something these guys are not.
No, absolutely not. And we have, you know, and a lot of the horror movies that came out so far this year, just for, to name a few, Night Swim, Imaginary, Abigail, were not great. Then you have stuff like Immaculate. I think that was, it looked generic and it was better than I expected.
Yeah.
First Omen was way better than I expected.
Late Night with the Devil, very original.
Yeah. Sleeper hit.
Intrigued the entire time.
Yeah. And we have, yep, those are all great stuff to commend a movie for. Cuckoo is coming out. Long Legs is coming out.
God damn.
Those movies look inventive and new and just like Long Legs looks mean.
Yeah.
It looks like a mean movie. Sometimes you need that. Cuckoo looked, Dan Stevens is also in Cuckoo.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, this movie could have been meaner. Like, stop trying to be so fucking cute.
Sanitized not, and
not,
safe.
Not everything needs a happy ending. Subvert some expectations. There were moments that I did like in the movie. I know you don't like Catherine Newton. But when she turned into the vampire and she killed Muscle Dude.
Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah, I was like, this sort of reminds me a little bit of Fright Night, Night of the Demons. A little bit. I'm kind of having fun with this. So, I mean, there were some fun kills in it. There was some good gore. There was one point when Abigail, like, didn't she, like, get her hand, was it, like, blown off? Or the sunlight hit it and her hand blew off and it showed her hand, like, growing back. Like,
yeah.
You don't see a lot of that kind of practical effects these days where you see, like, it moving, you know?
Yeah.
Like something growing back. So I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. So there's good moments in it, but just as a whole, I mean,
yeah, it wasn't enough to leave me remembering it at all.
It was essentially Ready or Not mixed with vampires and Megan.
And a colostomy bag. Don't forget that.
Colostomy bag. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, Abigail's a cool character. I wish another writing team thought of the idea of like a little vampire girl.
Yeah, I wanted more of her her backstory kind of fleshed out, but no, we get the whole backstory of these seven Avengers that are in the house, and okay.
So they're ready or not stable. Also, RIP Angus Cloud, because he's just the best.
Yeah, what was he? Is he like a rapper or some shit?
No, he was in Euphoria.
Oh, okay.
He looks like a rapper, but but literally they casted him like right off the street. Euphoria was his first role, and he was incredible in Euphoria, and he you know, unfortunately overdosed.
Yeah,
he was so fucking young, and he was so talented, and
yeah, that's sad.
It was such a bummer, because just his presence on the screen, he's just such like an interesting he's just an interesting guy.
Yeah, there were some good moments with him and Catherine Newton. I thought they had a fun little dynamic going.
When she was like, "Ew, get away from me. Ew." All right.
You don't like Catherine Newton.
No, I think she's a bum.
Okay. I don't think she's that bad.
You haven't watched Lisa Frankenstein, right?
No.
You and Ashley should watch Lisa Frankenstein and get back to me.
I don't want to.
I think it's on stream. No, it might be for rent.
Oh, one more thing I got to say about Abigail. When Dan Stevens was like, you know, oh, shocker, he's the head vampire now. Of course. I was like, he is going to walk down that staircase and say, well, well, well. And God damn it if he didn't do it. I was like, they can't help themselves.
Surprising he didn't do the slow clap. Well, well, well. Bravo.
Not bad for a junkie.
Oh, I see you're missing your fun dip.
Ooh, sucking on those lifesavers again. But you couldn't save your own life, could you?
I think you're doing Luke Wilson now.
You know, I gotta be honest here. I'm gonna kill you, okay? That's the way the cookie crumbles.
Dude, I don't know what the fuck is wrong with you that you need to start doing. Okay, hold on. This is very like not niche, but like again, off topic. Dude, I've been thinking about your Mark Norman impression ever since you've done it.
Oh, yeah.
It fucked me up.
Hey, we might be drunk. Mark Norman, comedy. All right.
I can't.
Here on the Spook House podcast. All right, comedy. I feel like I can do it better.
Dude, when you were on the phone and you were doing it, I was like, I'm talking to Mark. Dude, I fucking went to bed the other night and I had your voice as Mark Norman in my head.
Comedy. Yeah, I'll
But I forgot where I was going with that.
I think we should wrap it up. This has been a good chunk of time. The Hurricanes are playing. Hopefully still. I kind of want to watch that game.
Oh, yeah. It's 9:30 already.
Yeah, we covered lots of stuff. Late Night with the Devil, Abigail, AI taking over the world. Yeah, it's a fun episode.
Hell yeah, baby. What movies do we have coming up? What's the next big release?
I don't know. We'll do some fun stuff though. I think we could I don't know. We'll think of something. We're gonna keep this momentum going.
Yeah, there's a lot of news and stuff like that. I was just thinking, I just don't remember what the next horror movie coming out is.
We'll talk about one of the 72 exorcism movies that are coming out this year. It's gonna be sick, super original stuff.
Yep, called The Exorcism. I mean, really doesn't get more unique than that.
They should have just called it This Is an Exorcism Movie. You know what's gonna happen.
They should have called it Give Us Your Fucking Money, We Know You're Gonna See It.
Yeah, well, hey, if you are still watching, thank you so much. Hey, if you're on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. We're trying to grow this channel, trying to do more fun shit. We need those subscribers, baby. We don't ask for much. It's a free podcast over here.
We're trying to give content to you all. Looks like I'm jerking off. Sorry.
I was about to say.
Jacking off over there. I could do it up here.
All right. Well, we are going to go ahead and get on out of here, but thank you so much for listening. Come out to Carolina Fear Fest. Come hang out with me.
Hang, baby. Yay. Let it rain. Oh, my God. I'm a fucking puppeteer with these things.
Confetti and balloons. Look at that.
It won't work anymore.
All right, Doug. I love you, my friend.
Love you, Daddy-O.
All right. Bye, everybody.